Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and my friend, Marty Greer, is joining us. We also have a special guest today. The Wicked Witch of the West has joined us. Or maybe it's the Good Witch of the East. I don't know. Because we're talking about Halloween. She's super cute.
She's really cute. Yeah, I don't. Yep. She doesn't look that wicked. I think she's a good.
We're going to go with the Good Witch of the East. My mom's birthday was Halloween. And so I have many of her tchotchkes. Since she's passed away, this is one of them. It actually has a little musical thing and sings and dances, but I figured that was a lot for the podcast. So.
That might be a little over the top.
But she's our spirit animal for today's conversation, because we're talking about our upcoming holiday. We're talking about Halloween, that can be a lot for our pets, right? Like a lot. People and doorbells and chocolate everywhere and
weird costumes.
Oh my goodness. All right. So what do you say, Marty? Let's talk about Halloween with our pets.
Sure. And you're right. There's a lot to talk about. So let's start with costumes.
Okay.
Because there's two aspects to this. One is everybody wants to dress their pet up in a cute little costume. And, you know, some of them are fine and the pets are comfortable in them and they're not scary and they're really cute. And sometimes we're expecting just a little too much of our pets, depending on the pet and what they like. Now, I send home a lot of pets in post-surgical suits after surgery to keep them from wearing Elizabethan collars. And I've had a few people come back and say, gosh, you know, they love getting their jammies on. And so at night now, I have a client with a Labrador and they have to put pajamas on her every night before she goes to bed. And I'm just like, are you serious? Like, she's a lab and you hunt with her.
Chihuahuas and pugs literally believe they're supposed to be wearing little outfits. Like, they are fully on board.
Right. Wire so hairs, if you have a pet.
Not so much.
Yeah, no. No, I put a jacket on my farm dog, and it was a day that we had an agility class at night. It was 10 below zero. I put it on her. I put her in the crate, got to the event, and she had taken it off, stuffed it in the corner of the crate, and looked at me like, don't you ever do that to me again. So we have to respect. There are some pets that are happy to wear clothing, and they're cute, and they are comfortable in it, and it's adorable. And then there are pets who are not, especially if it covers their head or it makes weird noises or like it's crinkly or it's weird or anything. And so you have to really be thinking about whether this makes your pet comfortable or uncomfortable. And if they're not comfortable in it, don't scare them. Put it on like for 2 seconds, get a quick picture, put it on Facebook and put the costume away. Like, don't try it again.
Right.
Your pet will tell you. And there's a lot of things that I say, things like nail trims. You're going to have to learn to do this. But if your pet says, I don't want to wear clothes. Okay. Don't make them wear clothes. I'm okay with that.
There's certain things that we must insist. And there are certain things that we're doing for our own benefit, not our pet's benefit. Those are things we don't insist.
Right. So if you have to put a mask over your pug's eyes and they're not happy wearing it, just please don't. So think about that, but also think about the costumes that are going to come to your door or that you're dressing your family up, yourself up in, so that if you are wearing costumes, I mean, it's really cute to dress as the Wizard of Oz and have Dorothy and the Lion and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow, and then your dog dresses up as Toto. I mean, that's a pretty easy fix for a lot of dogs. They look like Toto, so it's not that hard. But if you're expecting your pet to be part of the group that goes trick-or-treating, then get them used to the costumes in advance, so that they know what you're going to look like, especially if you're wearing something over your face or your head. Right. It changes your profile, and your pet really identifies a lot, not by looking just at your face, but how you look in profile and how you look in the dark. Mm-hmm. And so you have to acclimate them so that they're comfortable with that kind of situation if you're expecting them to go skipping down the street with them on a leash while you're taking the kids trick-or-treating. So think about those.
You know, they're going to see other strange creatures and zombies. And, you know, I think it's really important to have realistic expectations of our pets. I had an old wire hair pointer dog, and we had at that point like a dozen pug dogs. And so we kept threatening that one day we were going to dress her up as the Wicked Witch and them as the Flying Monkeys.
Yeah.
We never did it, but man, it would have been so perfect.
Exactly. But if your kids or if you're going to wear a mask right. or a hat or any of those right. things, get them used to it. And if you are going to have your pet at the door when trick-or-treaters are coming, and I would not recommend it, but if they are, get them in a harness or a leash, some way that you can really safely keep them in the house so that mm-hmm. if something funny happens at the door and the dog runs out or they see something that scares them and they spook mm-hmm. and they run down the road, that you have identification with a tag, that they have their microchip, that you have some way to get them back home. My best recommendation, especially for cats or dogs that are nervous, is just put them in a quiet bedroom or a bathroom, crate them, put them far away from the door where they're not going to hear all the commotion. They're not going to hear the doorbell ring 1,000 times. They're not going to be upset. You're not going to change their routine. Just let them go and then put a note on the door so that the kids remember that, put it on the doorknob so they have to actually touch the door. And I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. So that you can keep the pet safe or pets, because cats are not going to like it when people are coming to the door and they may run out the front door. Some dogs are going to be startled. So plan ahead for those kinds of things. The number one day for dogs to run away from home is 4th of July. But
July,
I would suspect Halloween. I suspect Halloween is right behind it because we still have yeah. fireworks around here on Halloween and we still have all the, you know, some.
Any excuse to blow things up, man, I tell you.
Yeah. Some stuff's during the day, some of it's at night. And, you know, if your pet takes off in the evening and it's dark out and there's a million kids in your neighborhood and the dog's scared and just takes off running, or the cat, you're not going to find them. Have a lighted collar on them. You're not supposed to do this, but I'm going to tell you to do this anyway. Put an air tag on them so that you have a way to track them, or, you know, buy an official, like a fee or whatever. They have special tracking collars for dogs. You have time now to order that and get it before yeah. Halloween. And Halloween might not be trick-or-treating on Halloween itself. It might be before. So, you know, just kind of plan for those things so that you have as much safety built into the program as possible. Things can still happen, but try to be absolutely 100% safe with your pet, because you don't need to have a crisis that happens in the middle of trick-or-treating and forever mar Halloween and how fun that was for your family.
You know, and one of my favorite... I wish I had my other prop, which was me and my little dog when I was a kid dressed up. My mom had made us both outfits and he had a routine of stupid pet tricks and he could sit up and put one ear up. And so his belly band said, feed me. So we got extra candy. So not everybody has a dog like Morris, right? My favorite pro tip is a baby gate. So you yep. can put a baby gate across your front door. If you're a household that has a lot of trick-or-treaters, you can put that baby gate and then still be able to mostly close your door. But the dog mm-hmm. can't just like bolt out, and you can hand food and treats to the kids over the baby gate. So that's one of my favorite tricks.
Yep.
You don't have a Morris that will go with you and be part of your costume.
Right. Right. Yeah, but this takes some advanced planning. You need yeah. to get the baby gate ahead of time. You need to get the yeah. costumes acclimated. If your pet really is terrified about the doorbell ringing, maybe disconnect the doorbell, get gabapentin or trazodone for your pet in advance so that they have something that they can reliably be sedated with. Cilio if it's the noise mm-hmm. thing. So just plan for those things. Your veterinarian cannot produce those at the drop of a hat. Halloween, yeah. I think, is on a weekend this year.
It is actually Friday.
Okay.
It is Friday the 31st. Yeah.
Don't call Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock and expect your vet to just magically appear with mm-mm. appropriate medication. So start thinking about those things in advance so that your pet is protected. Like I said, make sure they've got a microchip and make sure your microchip is registered to the right place so that your correct phone number is in there. And now Buddy Badge with Revival has a tag that has a QR code on it.
Nice.
And all you have to do, you don't need a microchip scanner to read the tag. You can take a photograph or get out your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit the website, go to the QR code. It will take you to all the information that you need to put in the computer about your pet. So if your dog is diabetic or needs to be on seizure medications or right. whatever, that information can all be accessible to whoever finds your pet should they run off.
I just think those things are so, so cool. So the other thing about Halloween, it's not just scary costumes. It's not just crazy kids ringing your doorbell 50,000 times. Right. Is the best thing about where I live. There's no trick-or-treaters at my house. Zero. There has never been a trick-or-treater here in 12 years. Candy. Kids yeah. and candy and little pumpkin buckets full of sugar. and pets.
Yeah. So we have the obvious things, the toxins, which are the xylitol, also known as birch sugar, raisins, and chocolate. So we have to know about the toxins. And we'll talk about that in a second. And we also have to think about the wrappers that come in them. So I've had dogs eat entire buckets full of Halloween candy, and we've had to make them vomit, and up comes the wrapper, up come, I mean, like, giant piles of stuff with the wrappers and with all the stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, dogs don't really think about unwrapping the food. They just think about how fast should I gobble it down before somebody busts me and I don't get a chance to finish this delightful situation. I had a former employee whose dog would eat Hershey's Kisses, and they would come through still in the wrapper. They would come through a little blunted, but still shaped like a Hershey's Kiss. But you know those little paper flags? Those were digested off. But the whole Hershey's Kiss would come through out in the other end of the dog, still wrapped in the foil. Not as pointy, but still in the foil.
So, I mean, yeah. Less chocolate in the system? I'm going to go with that's good? I don't know, man. Yeah, that's a
but
lot.
That much foil is not good for you. The paper wrappers, the foil, all that stuff. So, yes, we have to worry a lot about the things that are in the basket. Raisins we know are toxic, so some people give out raisins. And if they're chocolate covered, now we have a double whammy because we have chocolate and raisins. Those can cause kidney failure. Raisins can cause kidney failure. Chocolate, of course, everybody knows about chocolate toxicity. And I've never treated a chocolate toxicity ever because most people catch it and then they will do something about it. We'll circle back to that in a second. But the more dark the chocolate and the more chocolate there is, the more serious it is. So something like a Reese's peanut butter cup, it's milk chocolate, it's a lot of peanut butter. If they eat one Reese's peanut butter cup, I don't get into a real panic. But if they eat an entire bag of them and they're in the dark chocolate version, then you have to be a little bit more concerned. And it depends on the size of the pet, the breed of the pet. Some of those things all play a role. And then we have the xylitol, the sugarless gums and candies.
That's the
and
scariest
xylitol.
One to me, because yeah. That'll get them quick.
Yeah, and xylitol is sort of a two-pronged danger. One is that if they eat a certain amount of it, their blood sugar will drop and they'll become like uncoordinated, staggering, and they can go as far as having seizures because their glucose drops so low. But if they get a higher dose than that, they can also go into liver failure. So xylitol, like I said, is also known as birch sugar and some other things on labels because they don't want to put xylitol on there. It sounds like a chemical because it is. So just be really aware that those things may be in the basket. So the first thing to do is just keep the basket that the kids come home with. Keep it up high, out of the way. Your dog can counter surf. Your dog can surf the kitchen table. They'll push a chair over and stand in the middle of the kitchen table.
The cat can knock it
over. Oh, yeah. They're accomplices. Like, here, let me help you with that. So, yeah, you can have a lot of that. And you just have to really think about those things. So be aware. Put them where they aren't going to get into it. Keep the kiddos' baskets out of the way. And if the dog or cat gets into something, you should call National Animal Poison Control or Pet Poison Helpline. Those are both organizations that have toxicologists on staff. There is a fee. It costs you money. You need to have your credit card in your hand when you call. And a lot of people argue with you about it. Oh, well, it shouldn't charge me for it. Well, the ones for people are funded by your government. The ones for animals are not, because owning a pet is not a government-funded project. So if your pet does eat something, have your credit card, call one of those two organizations, and you will very quickly be connected to someone that will take information from you. So you need to have the packaging. You need to know what they ate, like which brand of xylitol was it? How much did they eat? What does your pet weigh approximately? What breed are they? And they're going to connect you very quickly to a toxicologist that can then say, not a toxic dose. Yes, it's a toxic dose. This is what you need to do. And then that treatment plan will follow you. If you have to go to the veterinary clinic, the treatment plan follows you along. So when you show up at your vet clinic or at the emergency clinic, they already have all the drugs, all the doses, everything calculated out. And in the long run, that actually will save you money because your vet now doesn't have to stop and call them and charge you for it. They will just go, okay, we need to do this, 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 and this. And then very quickly, your treatment plan has been established and initiated. So it's a really good program. So National Animal Poison Control is part of ASPCA, and Pet Poison Helpline is the other one. So have those phone numbers in your phone. Have those available to you. Have your credit card if you call, and get all that started. Now, a lot of people are familiar with using hydrogen peroxide to induce vomiting if their pet eats wrappers or candy or sugarless gum or whatever. And I personally think it's a very dangerous product. I've had very bad experiences with it over the years. I've had a cat that died from it, and we've had a dog that developed an air embolism in her brain. We feel like the peroxide caused enough bubbling that it put an air embolism into her brain, and she walked backwards for 3 days at the emergency clinic. So I don't use those, but there's a product called Clevor. It's C-L-E-V-O-R. It comes in a little foil package. It comes as an eye drop, and you can use it on dogs. It doesn't work on cats. And your vet can prescribe this for you if they're willing to. If you have a dog that's a frequent flyer because they eat stuff they're not supposed to, like chocolate and underwear, your veterinarian will potentially send this home with you. You have to work with your veterinarian. So this is a reason to have a good relationship with your vet, is to say, I really don't want to end up at the emergency clinic two Saturdays a year. So could we just have some Clevor so I can predictively be able to do this? And you put a drop or a number of drops, depending on the size of the dog, in their eye. And within 4 to 7 minutes, that dog is vomiting up the offending product. Now, occasionally you have something that shouldn't be vomited up, like battery acid. Great. Or bleach, but most of the time, if your pet eats something that they're not supposed to, vomiting is the best antidote to start with.
That's why you call the poison control when they eat something they shouldn't, to know whether you should vomit or not vomit, because that is a big deal.
Right. And it's under $100 for those fees. It changes from time to time, but it's under $100. And the amount of money you'll save by maybe not going to the emergency clinic or your regular vet, or maybe not having to treat anything at all, or maybe the treatment isn't as expensive as you think it's going to be, then those are the things to have available. It's just have the phone number, have your credit card, and ask your vet if they'll dispense Clevor if you know you are one of those dog/dog owners.
Yes.
It happens.
My new wire hair puppy apparently is going to be one of those. I am so not amused about this. Amused. I'm like, no. I haven't had an inappropriate eater of stuff in a very long time.
Yeah, there are some breeds that are. So know your dog's breed, know your dog's size, know the information, have the phone number taped to your cabinet or stored in your cell phone or whatever, so that you're not frantically trying to get onto a Wi-Fi network someplace and Google it if you're somewhere far away. So just have that piece of information available to you, because at some point you or someone you love, they'll need that. that's life.
For real.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
So here we are, Halloween. No eye of newt, no wing of bat or anything in our dog's food supply. What else are we looking for? Trick-or-treaters, don't eat all the candy. What else? If you take your pet trick-or-treating with you, make sure that, like your kiddo, it has reflective tape on it.
Or a lighted collar.
Or a lighted collar.
Those, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get those collars that light up. They have a mm-hmm. rechargeable battery, and they're not expensive, and they're pretty great, so that other people can see your dog and mm-hmm. you can see where your dog is. We don't want your dog to startle anybody by, you know, coming around the corner in the dark and not having somebody realize that they're there. Some people, some kids are not really comfortable with dogs, so make sure that that happens. And I think something that a lot of people don't know is that there are bandanas and collars that are in different colors mm-hmm. that kind of help signal whether your dog is comfortable with other people.
Friendly, now, yes.
If you have a dog that needs to wear a yellow bandana, probably don't take them trick-or-treating.
I would encourage you
not. But there are people that can identify that. And in fact, mm-hmm. there are times that the wrong color or mm-hmm. the wrong bandana gets put on a dog because people are unaware of those sort of signals that are out there. But if you do have a situation that you have to take your dog to something, make sure that you signal with the appropriate color, mm-hmm. collar or bandana. But the collars that light up are pretty great. They're rechargeable. Yeah. They're pretty handy. You can set them for different settings so that they'll mm-hmm. flash or they'll be steady or, you know, whatever it happens to be.
It'd be
so
part of the costume.
Exactly. Build it in. So it's, you know, it's part of something cool.
Another thing that I think is really, really fun, and we haven't had a chance to talk about it much on this particular program, but if you happen to have a purebred dog, you don't have to, but if you happen to have a purebred dog, the American Kennel Club has a really cool program, and it is a titling program for dogs who do tricks. And Halloween makes me think of tricks because Morris used to do his tricks for the Halloween. So you can actually get your dog, even your don't do anything else with your dog. If it happens to be purebred, you can get a trick dog title for yes. your dog to teach them to hold the Halloween basket with no candy in it, to sit up and right. beg. You know, like, you can do this whole routine that is super fun. You can take a video of it, send it in, and it's a really great thing to do with your dog. And Halloween is a fun time to do this sort of stuff where they can show off yeah. their tricks.
Right. Right. You can teach them to, if you pretend to sneeze, they can walk over to the Kleenex box and pull a Kleenex out and bring it over to you. You can teach them to play dead. I mean, there's so many really fun tricks that people do with their dogs. And I know at one time you could get the trick dog title without even going to a class or without.
Yeah, no.
You don't even have to go anywhere.
I believe you can videotape your dog doing a series of tricks. And if you go to akc.org and type in trick dog, it will take you to the rules. Yeah. And it's just, for me, just from my childhood and the fun stuff, like, I still teach my dogs to carry stuff so they can carry a basket or they can, you know, whatever. And it's fun. And I think it's fun yeah. for the kids to teach the dogs to have a trick. And it's a cool family activity if you have a dog that's willing to participate.
Right. And a lot of the retrievers, they're very willing to carry things in their mouths. So it can be a lot of fun. You can teach them to go to the fridge, open the fridge because mm-hmm. you put a towel on the door handle. You can teach them to get you a beer, close the fridge, mm-hmm. take the recycling out. Mm-hmm. You can do some really fun stuff. So don't miss the opportunity to teach your dog some of those things. I have clients that have taught their dogs the names of all their toys. They'll send them to the toy box to get the toy out. So go get your monkey, go get your chicken. And then they teach them to pick up their toys and put them back in the toy box. The best trick of all is to clean up after yourself. If you can't teach your kids or your spouse or your partner, mm-hmm. at least you can teach the dog. And if the dog is picking up after themselves, the kids mm-hmm. might actually
It's a learning opportunity. I had a client who taught his wire hair pointer to get his slippers, but not just go get my slippers, go get me my left slipper.
Wow.
And the dog would bring him the left slip, like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. My grandson, who's almost five.
Hold a pipe, you know, like hold up like an old, like Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes pipe. He would hold a pipe in his mouth and they'd put a hat on him. I mean, you can just do so much fun stuff if your dog is into it. And if you want your dog to be into it, we talked in our last episode, we talked about how to train our dogs right to accept different care and different things at the veterinary office with the fear-free. Right. We can train them to do all these things. Training our dogs is actually fun. And I think if we can use Halloween as a peg to remind people that training our dogs is fun and that there's really cool and fun ways to use training our dogs to get cool stuff, like, that feels like a good use of time.
It sure does. And you can do it in just little tiny tidbits of time a day. Mm-hmm. You don't need to set aside an hour. My first
dog won't take it in.
No. My first dog, we had her at a friend's house while we were traveling. And while she would be using the toilet, she taught the dog to shake. So, you know, multitask, folks.
That just brings up some images that I just don't need to know about. But yeah, I mean, you can absolutely, basically, I teach people, particularly for puppies, 5 minutes, three times a day.
Yep.
Literally 5 minutes, three times, whatever it is that you want to teach. There's lots of things that people want to teach. 5 minutes with their breakfast, 5 minutes when you get home from work, 5 minutes before you go to bed.
Yep.
5 minutes, three times a day on whatever task you want to teach them.
Yep.
And rotate, like, do one thing in the morning and one thing at night and one thing at late night or one at lunch, however you want to break that up. 5 minutes, three times a day, you will have your dog trained to do whatever it is you want them to do in about a month.
It's pretty surprising how quickly they pick up on things and mm-hmm. how much fun it really is. Mm-hmm. Like, your dog is going to love it because you're giving them extra attention. And, you know, if you've got more than one dog, they're going to be over there nudging under your elbow.
FOMO.
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 Exactly. Exactly. I have a former employee. She was one of my groomers. And she had a dog in an agility class. It was an outdoor class, parked her van with the back of the van open, her other dog in a crate. And that dog learned to run agility by watching the housemate run agility. She took her out of the crate finally after a whole session of classes. Yes. And the dog's like, I got this. Yeah. So dogs are amazing in what they pick up and what they learn. And we don't give them nearly enough credit.
It is actually one of the training methods that a lot of professional field trainers use. They will park a dog where it can see the training being done with the other dogs. So you have FOMO, a little fear of missing out. And they literally watch what's going on and they learn by watching. And that is quite specifically a tool that a lot of professional field trainers type guys use to teach dogs how to do the work.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. So take advantage of every tool that you have and make sure that the dogs are learning the fun stuff.
And remember, Glinda the Good Witch. We decided it was Glinda the Good Witch.
Okay.
Glinda the Good Witch, not the Wicked Witch of the West, says, keep your dog safe. Don't let them eat the candy. Accustom them to the costume and teach them a trick. There you go.
And if you get a chance to go to Vegas, get a ticket to The Wizard of Oz, the movie, at the Sphere. It is the most amazing experience. So
oh my gosh.
For Vegas,
cool.
Go to the Sphere, man.
We missed that one, huh? Okay.
I did it last week.
Okay.
Now, my husband still has finger marks in his arm because I'm not good with heights. And there's special effects that you will not experience anywhere else. But if you get a chance to go, it's a little expensive for a movie. It is worth every single penny. Do it.
Fantastic. All right. There's your pro tip for the day. Happy Halloween, everybody. Have a great, great week. Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are. In the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.